Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, come on, man. You know, I think you're really just the finish and just the angriness. A lot of people say I run angry. I guess you can say that. I guess it's just a bowling ball mentality, I guess. But, contact, boom, and then it was just the finish between me and the O-line and then everyone else just pushing. And
contact, boom, and bowling ball mentality. Is that kind of what Tyler Allgeier had to say to Dave Archer on the Falcons Radio Network post-game show? He ran 405 yards and had the game sealing touchdown as the Falcons went on to beat the Panthers 38-20. Yes.
Contact boom and then
yeah, I'm a big fan of contact boom. I thought both running backs yesterday ran with a physicality that we have not seen. And Tiff, you were going to break and you teased what was working for the Falcons run game yesterday. I'll tell you what was working. Jake Matthews, Matthew Bergeron, Ryan Neuzel, Chris Lindstrom, and Caleb McGarry. Because all five of those.
Are you not gonna, thank you. I was waiting for the resident offensive lineman to have some sort of reaction.
All five of those guys were working their ass off yesterday. In fact, I mean, Matthew Bergeron was dropping bodies.
Yeah, he needed syrup.
I mean,
he needed syrup. After.
I wanted to stop by IHOP afterwards because he made me hungry with some of the pancakes he threw.
Maybe dice up some strawberries, throw them on top.
No, I'm a blueberry guy. I like them cooked in the pancakes, personally.
Fair That's acceptable.
Fair enough. That's exactly what was going on yesterday. No, I mean, I thought it was nice. You kind of...
I didn't mean to steal your thunder. I apologize.
No, because I think there's a lot of different ways to talk about the run game. It's not just, it was a good run game. It's why was it a good run game? And I think when you look at it, I've obviously been a proponent. We've talked on the show about variation in the run game and why don't we, pull a guard. We still didn't pull a guard, but we ran a speed sweep once. We pulled Jake Matthews once on a little bit of, toss sweep action as well. We also started sprinkling much more of what I call mid-zone. They might call it an inside zone, right? And it kind of probably looks to the naked eye like the running back is just cutting back a little bit sooner and getting more downhill, but it's really not. So what you would have on like a wide zone we normally run is you're kind of either way, whether there's a tight end or not, the running back's kind of taking off, aiming at the what would be a tight end or a ghost tight end. On the mid zone, you kind of bring that aiming point in for the running back. He might be aiming at the inside cheek of the tackle, right? So it's a tighter aiming point. Just think of Kirk Cousins and his arm being stretched out to get it out on wide zone and maybe then bend his elbow back a little bit and the running back's cutting a little bit earlier, getting north and south a lot faster on the mid zone. So some of those plays were really hitting nice yesterday, and that's a head nod to the interior offensive line of being able to get movement.
I think they even ran a counter play in there that we saw. I think it was Allgeier. One of the things Tyler Allgeier said, some people think I run angry. I don't think he runs angry. I really don't. I think that he runs just with this. Both of our running backs, Bijan and Tyler Allgeier, to me, they have different styles. But when you make contact with them, they never stop moving their legs. Yeah. There's never any quit. They're not, and you could say that for quite a few runs, but they're not easy to bring down. They're not first contact, they go down. Both these guys run through. That run on that after the AJ interception, where he's hit like 2 yards after the pass line of scrimmage, and he just kept his legs turning, and now he runs through he hits a guy and runs through him. Then he bounces off a guy. Now he spins. But he keeps his feet going, and he's moving back forward. And all of a sudden, I think it might have been McGarry or Lindstrom one. They just shove him, and now he flings into the pile, and he ended up getting 17 yards on the carry. 15 of that was after contact, and it's just that nonstop running a style, that aggressiveness that both these guys run with, and it's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I agree.
It really is. And then when you look at what this maybe could set the table for the team going forward, with Bijan talking about, that's where you want to be with guys not knowing, how to stop the run or how to stop the pass with this offense. So this type of game I mean, how excited are you now about really the future of this team?
That's a good point, Tiff. And I think that the best part of this is you obviously beat Tampa in a completely different way, right? You were able to throw for 500 yards through the air, and your running game really didn't get going against Tampa Bay. And you didn't need to go through the air. You know, 1 week later, you didn't need to utilize the ball through the air because you were having so much success up front. And make no mistake about it, Carolina is dealing with a lot of injuries, but guess what? I mean, there's been times in the past that Atlanta has done the same thing and nobody gives them a pass either. So hats off to the interior offensive line, like I said. And they presented issues, man. They tried to walk guys into the box. They tried to bring an extra guy front side, which can kind of make things difficult. I did not think that Carolina's middle linebacker play was spectacular by any means. And being able to fill some of those gaps, even when they did add somebody to the front side of the run play. So, Tiff, to your point, you do it multiple ways, and then you know that when you get in crunch time, you can kind of take what the defense gives you. If they walk a guy down, you can kind of throw it over their head, and vice versa. It's all about game planning. It's all about running the script. It's all about reacting in real time. And Zach Robinson, it's like Raheem said, Zach Robinson's still growing in real time.
Yeah. Right?
He's still learning this thing, and he's still growing in real time. He's still learning his guys. I think he's really settled in nicely in the last couple of weeks.
You're seeing a lot of growth from him. There was a play, and I'm not sure. I think Darnell Mooney thought that he was about to get hit, but they sneak him out on almost like a type of wheel route type play, and Kirk hits him perfectly. Darnell jumps for the ball. I'm not overly sure why.
Arch was like, what's he doing?
Because he'd have walked in the end zone. He got up and knew it, too, because he kind of patted the ball. Like, what, you know. But I agree, and I think Zach Robinson is starting to feel himself a little bit. And yeah. I like that because he's gaining that confidence. I'm right there with him literally as the game ends, and you could just feel from him. But again, this was a more balanced game as far as number of plays. You ran 38 times compared to the dropping back 30. And so that's a little bit better of a balance than we saw last week. However, I dare to say that had Kirk Cousins and Zach Robinson talked after the first quarter, you might have saw 50 runs.
Yeah,
and maybe 20 throws.
I was going to ask the same thing, and I'll ask both of y'all. What was y'all thoughts initially after the first couple of drives? Because I was like, man, we ought to be able to run it really well today. And you come out and you throw a pass, and it gets tipped. And I'm like, this can't be the game plan. Like, you can't come out and start throwing passes and risking the fact that you're going to get tip balls and interceptions. They're going to be jumping. They're going to be jumping a lot because they understand the game plan of the Falcons to be able to get it out. So I just wasn't sure what we saw the first couple of drives. I was like, man, we got to start running this thing. Surely enough, they did, but it was nice to see.
Do you think they probably expected them to come out running? They probably expected the Falcons to run because knowing the injuries that they had defensively, so maybe that's why the offensive plan, they were like, let's try throwing it for a little bit and see what happens.
Well, I did not like the first possession at all that we had offensively because you gained 5 or 6 yards on the first carry from Bijan, and then you throw it twice, and didn't think Kirk looked very comfortable at all most of the game for whatever reason. Maybe later in the game he did seem to kind of settle in, but early he did. I don't know, something was off, and whatever it is. And you were getting that footing. I would have ran it more earlier, but I understand also, you know, that you're trying to, you know, trying to keep it balanced and kind of mix it in and keep them off guard. I'll say this: if I'd have told anybody, any Falcons fan, I'm going to get you through 6 games, you're going to be 4-2, and you're going to be 3-0 in the division and 4-0 in the conference. You would all be feeling yourselves like I think Zach Robinson is this morning, and like Bijan is, and like Tyler Algier is. You'd all be happy as hell. I'm gonna tell you something. You feel like you gave a couple away. You feel like, hey, you know what? We're a couple of plays away from being 6-0. However, you're 4-2, and it's a very important 4-2.
Yeah. Well, and I completely agree with that. And I think the thing is, when you look at this team, you're also close to having a couple taken back. I mean, the referee last week, I've mentioned a number of times, if he picks the ball up to spot it, you don't get it spiked with 1 second left. And so there's just a number of back and forth. That's the NFL. It's always going to be tight like that. But here's what I'll say about yesterday. The Falcons went out and took care of business against the team they should have beat, and they beat them. And there's a lot to be said about
it. Why are you always in my head with what I want to say? next?
I don't know. I'm just talking. So no, I mean that's exactly what happened yesterday. They went out there, they beat a team they should have beat, and they dealt with business. And now it just feels like a lot of things unlocked. Had they gone out and struggled even more than they did yesterday, then you're asking a lot of questions. And I know that the defensive line will continue to be talked about. Whether or not it's a scheme issue, a personnel issue, continue to give up explosive plays and you don't get to the passer. And yesterday we thought that that would kind of correct itself.
I thought that, I know that they got footing in the run game in that third quarter and early in the fourth before the interception. But before that drive, I'm pretty sure Chuba Hubbard got like 40 yards in that drive alone where AJ makes the interception. So think about it there. Before that drive, they had like 70 yards on the ground. Nate Landman came back and played pretty freaking good. He had two forced fumbles. I think they got both of them back. But he had two forced fumbles, and he had quite a few tackles. I'm trying to find the exact number of tackles he had, but he played pretty well. I think it showed to me that there is some scheme, Mike, but I also think it's he had eight total tackles. But I also think that it is personnel, and getting Lamon back in that run game is huge.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I agree.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.